Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. On Christmas Eve, 1982, death claimed a handsome, intelligent Christian young man whose name was Ted Martin Morris. Ted was the only child of Frank and Elizabeth Morris, both of whom have appeared on our Frieda Hardeman University lectureship. Frank led singing on one of our special sessions devoted to congregational singing. Elizabeth spoke to the ladies about overcoming grief. The Morrises are dedicated, loving and zealous members of the body of Christ at Hopkinsville, Kentucky. They had taught their son the gospel of Christ. Frank had baptized his son into Christ. The Morrises all believe these words from the Apostle Paul. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. Ted Morris was a freshman at David Lipscomb College, now David Lipscomb University, in Nashville, Tennessee. He had worked hard at the sound shop in Hopkinsville to supplement the scholarships he had earned to pay his college expenses. In early October 1982, he was the only Kentuckian to receive one of 75 $1,000 scholarships sponsored by United Parcel Service. But on December 24, 1982, Ted Martin Morris died from a broken neck and from many other injuries inflicted by a drunken driver. Frank and Elizabeth Morris have died 1,000 deaths from broken hearts. Those of us who have fought beverage alcohol for years are often told, if you leave alcohol alone, it will leave you alone. What greater lie could the manufacturers, the distributors, and the sellers of beverage alcohol promote than this one? People who use that kind of language often concede that alcohol can be dangerous. They cannot be ignorant of the fact that 25,000 people die on American highways every year from someone's driving under the influence of alcohol. They also have to know that there are thousands of industrial accidents every year caused by beverage alcohol. And yet, they have the audacity to keep repeating, if you leave alcohol alone, it will leave you alone. Let me raise some disturbing questions about beverage alcohol. Thousands of babies are burned or beaten to death every year in our country. Obviously, not all the babies or small children killed by their parents or by others are mistreated by drunken people, although many of them were. Some people are mean enough without alcohol to kill their own or someone else's children. But thousands of children are abused by drinkers, either their parents or their babysitters, or by others. Abused children have left alcohol alone. But has it left them alone? Any angry, frustrated, and bitter drinker will almost certainly do great damage to someone, a child, or someone else. The news media have regularly publicized the plight of hungry and homeless children. The motives of those who provide such publicity may be suspect in some cases, but no observant American can ignore the truth of the situation. Little children do go hungry and cold. Some children seldom have a well-balanced, nourishing meal. I would not be so hard-hearted as to deny or to minimize the tragedy of homelessness and of hunger in the United States. But could the fact that many parents drink heavily contribute to hunger and homelessness in this rich and prosperous nation? Should the blame for legalizing beverage alcohol be placed on the shoulders of governmental leaders, both local and national? If beverage alcohol were not legal in virtually every jurisdiction in the United States, would so many people drink and take money from their families, which ought to be used for food, clothing, and decent housing? Often the spouses of drinkers and the children of drinkers, leave alcohol alone. But does it leave them alone? And what about those people in various communities who thought and argued that legalizing alcohol would solve the tax problems of those communities? Has that in fact happened? Do you know any community or city or state which is better off financially because of legal alcohol? When alcohol flows freely in almost every community in the nation, how can we avoid tragedies like that of Ted Martin Morris? Even if you leave alcohol alone, it will not leave you alone. When our two sons were born into this world, their mother and I discussed endlessly what course of action they would follow. We talked of their becoming lawyers or doctors or preachers or teachers or businessmen. We did not attempt to push either son in the direction we would have preferred he would go. We counseled, encouraged, urged them to do their best in whatever field they chose. One is an insurance executive with State Auto Insurance Company of Columbus, Ohio. The other is a professor of engineering and technology at Murray State University. We did not choose for them what occupation or profession they should follow, but we strongly urged them to do their best and to be Christians whatever their occupation or profession. We are grateful to God that our sons are faithful Christians and take an active part in the churches where they worship and work. Frank and Elizabeth Morris were no different in that respect from most parents. They wanted the best for Ted and were working in that direction. But their son is no longer around to enjoy their love and to use his great talent and devotion for any cause. He is dead at the hands of a drunk. Do Frank and Elizabeth Morris ever wonder what might have been? If you are a parent or a grandparent, you know the answer to that question. You know they must dwell at length on what might have been and what should have been. John Greenleaf Whittier, an American poet, wrote a beautiful little poem he called Maud Muller. You may remember it from your high school or college days. Maud Muller was a poor farm girl who dreamed of marrying a young man who had become a judge. She could see with her mind's eye the wonderful and loving home the two of them could build together. The judge dreamed of getting away from the drudgery of the court and living a simple life with a beautiful country maiden, Maud Muller. The last three verses of Whittier's poem are well known, even if the author and poem may not be. For all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Ah, well, for us all some sweet hope lies, deeply buried from human eyes. And in the hereafter, angels may roll the stone from its grave away. But before I talk with you about what might have been, let me tell you what almost certainly would have been if Ted Martin Morris had not been killed by a drunk driver. Since Ted was the Morris's only son, their only child, he would have continued to provide the love and the hope all parents expect and have a right to expect from their children. Frank and Elizabeth have so much love to give, but no child to receive it. What a tragedy. There are millions of children who want and need the kind of love the Morrises so graciously gave to Ted. But they do not have such parents. The lives of these children are empty and meaningless because of a lack of parental love. From what I know of the Morris family, and not just Frank and Elizabeth, it was a closely knit unit. Ted was an obedient and loving son who inspired not only his parents and other family members, but his friends and fellow church members as well. There is no reason to think he would have behaved any differently had he been permitted to continue to live. He would almost certainly have brought joy, support, and fulfillment to his parents and to others. but his life was snuffed out by a drunk driver. Christmas holidays must be especially difficult for Frank and Elizabeth. At this time of the year, their memories of Ted are bound to come in waves of emotion that they have a hard time handling. I am sure they are grateful for having had such a son. Tennyson wrote, "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." The Morrises probably understand Tennyson's statement much better than most of us. But why, in the name of all that's godly and decent, did they have to lose their son to a drunk driver? My friends, I'm aware that no one knows the future, nor do we need to know it. But let us wonder for a few minutes on what might have been had Ted Morris continued to live. Since he was a faithful Christian and a freshman at David Lipscomb University, he almost certainly would have been a great asset to the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many elders, deacons, Bible class teachers, and other diligent workers in the church come from such homes and attend our Christian colleges and universities. One of the great joys of being a Christian university professor is getting to meet our alumni in churches all across the country, where I am privileged to go for gospel meetings. In almost all cases, they are diligent workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Ted Morris might have become an elder in the Church of our Lord. There is no greater need among churches of Christ in our generation than good elders, men of courage, vision, wisdom, and conviction. But Ted Morris will never become an elder or a deacon or a Bible class teacher. I'm not saying that Ted would have become an elder or a deacon. Only God fully knows what might have been. But I am saying that alcohol and drugs are destroying many bright young people, and not just the ones who choose to use these dangerous drugs. And alcohol is our most dangerous drug. But the ones who are killed by drunk drivers or drug addicts who go off the deep end and start shooting everyone in sight. The destruction wrought by alcohol and other drugs can never be known in this world. But the heartaches of parents like Frank and Elizabeth Morris can be observed almost daily. Ted Morris might have become one of the great Bible teachers of the church in our generation. So far as I know, he was not planning to preach. But he might have done great good by preparing himself to be a Bible class teacher or a vacation Bible school teacher. Ted was of the disposition to use his time and talent in promoting the work of our Lord. His home background, his experiences in a Christian university, and his natural talent might have especially equipped him for being an outstanding teacher, leader, and worker in the Lord's church. The black colleges have a slogan which is worth repeating in this context: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I would add to that, a Christian mind is a terrible thing to waste. He could have been, and probably would have been, a good husband and father. Some Christian young woman has missed the opportunity of having Ted Martin Morris as a husband. Ted and a good wife could have produced some wonderful, capable, loving, and devout children. With all the incompetent fathers and indifferent husbands in the world, it is a shame to lose one who might have had so much to give to a family. Ted Martin Morris left alcohol alone. But alcohol did not leave him, or his parents, or his grandparents, or his friends alone. Alcohol took Ted Morris's life. Ted Morris might have become a catalyst in his hometown or in his community for changing the moral tone of that community and of our nation. After all, it did not take 1,000 William Wilberforces to outlaw the vicious slave trade which corrupted both the United Kingdom and the United States. One man or one woman can make a difference in any community. Ted Morris might have made that difference, but not now. He was killed by a drunk driver. As I look back through the pages of biblical history, I discover men and women who might have passed through this world and never have been noticed at all, but who made a tremendous difference in their world and in ours. From a purely naturalistic viewpoint, what did Moses have to offer his world? He grew up in slavery of very poor parents, parents who were vassals of Egypt. By his own admission, he was not a great speaker or a great leader. The Egyptians thought of the Jews as being like horses or cows or land. The Jews were money in Egypt's bank, but not people on a par with the important and influential Egyptians. When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, Moses said, in effect, "I was a poor speaker before you called me, and I am a poor speaker now. Why, Lord, have you called me?" But God took this man, insignificant in his own sight, and made him one of Israel's greatest heroes. Might Ted Martin Morris have been such a man as Moses? Not a lawgiver, but a leader, a teacher, a mighty man of God. But he cannot be a Moses now, because he was killed by a drunk driver. The governor under whom the Jews rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after 70 years' stay in Babylon was a mighty leader. He returned to Jerusalem under the most trying circumstances. He dealt with a stubborn and hard-hearted people. He faced unbelievable odds and bitter enemies in attempting to carry out the work of the Lord. But he challenged the Jews to put their shoulders to the wheel and to get the work of rebuilding done as soon as possible. With his leadership and the Lord's support, the Jews accomplished an almost impossible task. Might Ted Morris have been a leader like Nehemiah? Is it possible he could have started a moral and spiritual revolution in the church he attended or in the community where he lived? Could he have made a difference in the atmosphere of our nation? He cannot do so now. He no longer lives on this earth. He was killed by a drunk driver. Joseph was an unusually bright and committed young man. But like Moses, he grew up with a very poor people. He also experienced a home life where bitterness, jealousy, and rancor were rampant. His brothers were envious of his ability and standing, but he did not allow their attitudes and behavior to prevent his fulfilling the work God had called him to do. His moral purity, his devotion to duty, his love for God and man, and his natural leadership qualities made him one of the truly great men of all time. Is it possible Ted Martin Morris might have been another Joseph? Does our world need men of the sterling character of Joseph? In the face of AIDS, broken homes, and broken lives, who can doubt our need for men like Joseph? But Ted Martin Morris can never be that man. Alcohol killed him at the tender age of 18. There are countless other men and women Ted Morris might have emulated to make ours a better world. He might have become another Daniel, or Timothy, or Titus. He might have been a man like Amos, or Jeremiah, or David, or Isaiah. We will never know what he might have done, because beverage alcohol destroyed his life, his dreams, his talent, and his potential. The dreams which Frank and Elizabeth Morris almost certainly entertained for their son Ted have been dashed into pieces by Tommy Pigage, a drunk driver. I do not know if I have anyone in my audience today who drinks and drives. The chances are some of you do. It is to you that I appeal in this lesson today. If you are an adult, a father or a mother, or a husband or a wife, please think of what you can do to your family by killing yourself in a drunken stupor. You can rob your spouse of a companion and deprive your children of a badly needed parent. You can impoverish our communities by removing a good worker or a community leader. You can cost your family members thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars by killing someone or by severely injuring someone. You and your family may never get from under the financial and emotional costs of your drinking. How can Tommy Pigage ever overcome the killing of a teenage boy? How can Frank and Elizabeth Morris ever forget the great evil alcohol has done to their family? If you are a young person, let me speak straight to your heart. If you drink and drive, you are in for more headaches than I could describe for you in 100 years. I have seen the broken bodies and broken lives of young people who were drinking and driving. I know from observation and reading what their parents have to endure. But how would you feel if you took the life of a fine young man like Ted Martin Morris? How could you live with yourself if you killed a child while you were under the influence of alcohol? I know this appeal may be considered emotional, and it is intended to be, but no one can deny the facts I have mentioned. Drunk driving is a grave wrong and can lead to the most shocking consequences. Drunk drivers maim and cripple and kill and destroy. Drunk drivers are a menace on our highways. Let me add in passing, law enforcement officers who fail to arrest drunk drivers and judges who fail to punish them are guilty of any deaths which might occur as a result of their negligence. Policemen, sheriffs, and state troopers must monitor every drinking establishment in the United States. If a man staggers from a watering hole and gets into his car and drives out on the highway, he ought to be arrested and put in jail. Community leaders ought to demand, not just ask, law enforcement personnel to stop the drunk driving on our highways. When they fail to do so, they are guilty before God and before good men for the needless slaughter on our highways. Before I close our lesson today, let me tell you some good news about Frank and Elizabeth Morris. When their son Ted was killed by Tommy Pigage, they were angry, bitter, and vengeful. Elizabeth Morris, a loving and gentle woman, wanted to put Tommy Pigage against a tree and drive her automobile into him. Although Christians cannot condone such attitudes and behavior, we can certainly understand how we might feel the same way if our sons or daughters were killed by a drunk driver. But Frank and Elizabeth Morris did not retaliate. They did not seek revenge. Instead, they visited Tommy Pigage in jail. They taught him the gospel. They led him to faith in Christ and in obedience to God's will. Today, Tommy Pigage is a member of the body of Christ and active in the work of the church. The Morrises have taken him into their home and into their hearts and helped him to get his life straight with God and with others whom he has hurt. Incidentally, the Reader's Digest and countless church bulletins across our nation have picked up the story of the Morrises and publicized it throughout the land. How could the Morrises have the faith and the courage to forgive Tommy Pigage, who killed their only child? Where did they learn such a gracious and generous spirit? My friends, the Morrises are acquainted with the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who cried to God as he was being stoned by his Jewish persecutors, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Acts 7:60. They also know about a man who was present at the execution of Stephen and who learned the spirit of forgiveness from him and who said later when he was being mistreated by Alexander the coppersmith, "I pray God it may not be laid to his charge." 2 Timothy 4:14. You will surely admit that Stephen and Paul are wonderful examples of the forgiving attitude which Christians must possess. But where did these men of God learn to be forgiving? You cannot be ignorant of Paul's and Stephen's and of Morris's master, who said on the cross of Calvary, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. Could there be any greater example of divine forgiveness than that of our Heavenly Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ? The record of the wrongs committed against Christ would fill the Library of Congress. And yet he said about the perpetrators of these wrongs, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let me appeal to every one of you who may be tempted to drink and to drive or to do drugs. Please do not do so. Do not shatter your dreams or the dreams of other people. You might kill an only son or daughter of some good family and never live long enough to overcome the sorrow in your own heart. My friend, drinking is not that important. Please remember these wise words from Solomon. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Thank you for listening today, and may our Heavenly Father bless you.